97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Lots of rolling wheels and shifting gears around that Jersey Turnpike. Barney stopped me with his gun 10 minutes after midnight. Said, sir, you broke the limit in his rusty old truck.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew pew.
Pew pew, new Chad. And, of course, my partner, Bo Matthews.
I'm here, dang
hey,
it. How are you, Tony?
It is the Memorial Day weekend of edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I hope as you are joining us wherever you are, whether you're listening to us on Saturday on 97.1, on Sunday on KMOX, or you're listening to our podcast.
On Friday on our podcast,
you are getting an opportunity to enjoy the great outdoors this weekend. Bo,
and we encourage you. Big plans. No, we're going to lay low. I've got to work on Monday because I'm a working stiff again.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention this, that if you listen to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, you love the show. You're going to be around different people over the holiday weekend than you will any other time of the year. Mention the show, share the podcast, trying to grow it best we can, and that's just my suggestion.
I will be heading down to the lake. We haven't had a chance to get down to the lake in months, and this year is going to be a year of, I don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to go to the lake, because my daughter is graduating high school, and so she's got her, her graduation weekend, her graduation party weekend, friends' graduation parties, getting ready for school in the summer, so we've got some trips down there, so we are going to take advantage of every opportunity we get to go to the lake this year, which may not be very many.
You know, you look like a high schooler. So hard to believe that you have a high schooler that is graduating.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I have a high school senior and a four-year-old.
What's your youth serum? What's the youth serum you found? Did you find the fountain of youth?
I did not.
it's having children, I guess.
I hear
the four-year-old right now.
Yes. Tony brought a security in.
Yes, I do. Speaking of the four-year-old, he's joining me in the studio today. Hang on one second, buddy. I'll be there in one second.
What's he doing? I think he's taking a nap now. How awesome is that?
Yeah, he's watching his SpongeBob movie. And he's all good. Yeah, that's one of the joys of summer. You the daycare situation gets a little weird when schools go on summer vacation. So it's bring your kid to school or bring your kid to work day.
So if it's been this long since you've been to the Lake of the Ozarks, does this mean it's a working weekend? Are you working around the place all weekend long, or do you get to actually relax?
The boat ready.
It'll be a little. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of prep. Boat prep.
Did you winterize the boat? Though?
You don't have to. We have I have a bass boat, so it's a fishing boat. It's not necessary to winterize it, and we start it up through the winter every chance we get. So that's one thing we don't have to do, but it's been a while, so you never know when it sits there for a few months. You turn that key, you hope it starts. But it's gonna be fun. Hopefully I'll be posting some fish pics.
I wish you will.
From this weekend. I will definitely be enjoying the great outdoors this weekend. I hope everybody else is able to get out and enjoy the great outdoors this weekend. And, Bo, of course, if you are enjoying the great outdoors, or we're talking about the great outdoors, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory, St. Louis County's premier gun store, catering to gun enthusiasts and their Second Amendment rights. You want to just go talk to the guys about the Second Amendment or ideas for your weapon you want to accessorize? RazorbackArmory.com is where you'll find directions and all about the store there when you go in. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk a little bit about the great outdoors as we go through the day here, because it is the holiday weekend, and it's a time that I hope people are able to unplug from the madness of the news cycle and all the negative stuff that's been, in the news and in our lives. And hope you get a chance to spend some time with some family and, get away from all that.
And reflect.
But
it's Memorial Day.
But absolutely. More than anything. Yeah, that's a great point, Carl. But we do need to talk about some things here on the show because that's what we do. We're going to talk to our good friend, the sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, here in just a minute, and get his thoughts on something, Bo, that you and I had a chance to briefly talk about on your show on KMOX earlier in the week. But this situation on Washington Avenue in downtown St. Louis has once again brought law and order, and policing and all the issues.
Of.
Yeah, and all the issues that we have been dealing with recently back to the forefront. And so we'll get Sheriff's thoughts on that in a second. What are your thoughts on what we saw on Washington Avenue earlier in the week?
It was sent to me. The video was sent to me Sunday evening, I would say. And I'll tell you what, it broke my heart because there was nothing that was they weren't rioting for anything. It was just basically herd mentality, I think, because, you know, the one gal, the first thing I saw was a gal twerking on the police car or up against the police car, and then another one was doing it, and the next thing you know, the police car is a dance floor and people are on top of it and stomping. I felt so bad for the cop, and I don't think we even know who that is, male or female, but I guess the call for help didn't go out until somebody breached the inside of the police car because they were in there, opened a passenger door, back door, something like that. I just felt so bad, especially my mind goes right to Mayor Jones saying we are not going to fill the spots of 90 police officers. It's like if there were more police, it would not have happened because, as you know, when the cops came down Wash Avenue after that plea for help from the police officer, then they all scattered like rats. So herd mentality is what came to mind.
So my fear is that now that it has happened once, that it will become a thing that, you know, like dancing on police cars will be this summer's water guns. You remember that?
Absolutely.
Last year in cities around the country, particularly in New York, it was a summer where people thought it was okay to, if a police officer pulled up somewhere on the street, to ambush them with a water gun attack. And not just water
and
guns.
And water balloons.
And
trash cans,
buckets
of water.
Of water, dumping them into the cruisers.
I feel so bad for the cops because they don't feel like they can do anything.
Yeah, and then you have this segment of people that will defend it and say, what? You're going to arrest people for water guns? They're just having fun.
It's still assault.
Yeah.
And
we heard that defense. We heard that defense about Washington Avenue earlier this week that they're just dancing. It's just people having fun after a party. So, you know, what are you going to do? Arrest people for dancing? Well, did you see the thousands of dollars of damage done to that police cruiser?
Right.
Somebody goes out to Bo's truck, jumps up and down on the hood and on the roof of it and caves it in. I have a feeling that's a crime
that you're
going to want to take people up on.
It'll be good to get a perspective from Sheriff Marshak because, you know, he obviously doesn't have a connection to the city, but he can give a perspective from law enforcement. Here's my other question I'll leave you with. It's a rhetorical question, though.
Yeah.
How different would that have been had that event on Wash Avenue happened in daylight, like in the middle of the afternoon? What would that look like?
You know what? Back in the past, I would have said it would have been a different story or maybe it would have happened. But in today's environment, I'm not sure that it makes a difference.
But are we giving them a pass because it was late at night, middle of the night?
No. I think we're giving them a pass because that's what we do now.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take a quick break. I can't wait to get Sheriff Marshak's thoughts on this issue and some of the other issues regarding law enforcement that are making headlines right now. So we will be back with Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County in just a minute on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Where I come from.
Just never know, Bo. Look at Bo's face.
I'm shocked that Carl Middleman is twerking in the studio.
It's not about what I like, Bo. It's what the people want. It's
there's a lot of special things about this show. We created it a few years ago because we knew that there was a need. There was a desire for a show that talked about Second Amendment rights and law enforcement and the military and hunting and fishing and camping and all those great things. So there's a lot of unique things about this show. The music may be the most unique thing. Every song, every bumper, there's a message behind it.
Hand-picked.
It's hand-picked, and it's intentional, and there's a message behind
there's
it.
There's no accident.
It is an art that Carl has created with the bumper music.
Hey, I wanted to interject this. In the Memorial Day weekend celebration, I wanted to clarify, Armed Forces Day is for those still in their uniform. Veterans Day is for those who have hung up their uniform. Memorial Day is for those who never made it out of their uniform.
Yes, that is correct.
And a lot of people are confused. Oh, it's barbecue weekend!
No.
You know, take some time and reflect. Yeah. Maybe your family members or friends have lost people.
Yeah. It's in the name, Memorial.
Right.
And remember.
And it's okay to enjoy yourself because you're enjoying the freedoms that were provided by those people who didn't make it home. But it's also important to take a moment, at least a moment, and, you know, remember them.
Absolutely.
But don't say Happy Memorial Day because that's the wrong
message.
People
do.
Yeah. They do.
What do you say?
You just say, remember Memorial Day.
It's Memorial Day.
Carl didn't have an answer.
It's not even a greeting, but people do say that, and that's fine. It's just Happy Freedom Day.
Just know the meaning behind it.
Yep,
That's the most important thing.
And now let's talk about twerking.
Let's talk about twerking. So in that first segment, if you missed anything, make sure you always download our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast anywhere that you get podcasts. I recommend the Odyssey app as being the best place to get the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors podcast. We gave our opinion on the situation on Washington Avenue earlier in the week. It's one of the biggest stories from this past week, especially regarding law enforcement. There's a few others that I would like to touch on as we go through the show here, if we have time. And we are once again lucky to be joined by our good friend, the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak, to provide his insight and thoughts on this story. So first of all, Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us. Whether Carl says I can say it or not, I will say Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. And
Having a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, sir. Let's just dive right in. As a member of law enforcement, when you see the pictures of what happened on Washington Avenue downtown last weekend, what was your reaction?
Well, look, I think it's indicative of where we're at these days. And look at the encouragement the community has had received from political leaders, both at the national and local level, over the last 8 months. You know, shortly before this happened, civic leaders, or shortly after it happened, local civic leaders went to Twitter and, you know, gave this the thumbs up. You had a local Democratic committee woman in the city of St. Louis say, and I quote, "This is more inspiring than anything I've seen lately," end quote. Right? I mean, you can't make this up.
That's incredible.
So if you look at what led up, you know, even before the presidential election last year, we had a summer of destruction. And political leaders encouraged this as an expression of frustration. So, look, we're going to see more of this, not less. Let's not pretend this was a one-time issue. We will see more of this. And I think it's unfortunate, but it's where we're at these days in society. If you encourage it, you're going to get it, and we've encouraged it.
Sheriff, it's interesting you say that, because I mentioned in the last segment that now that this has been broadcast and has been celebrated by some and endorsed by some, I could see this turning into last year's water guns and water balloons. If you remember, we had this conversation with you about a year ago when last summer the thing was, if a police officer stopped somewhere and everybody had either planned for it or had the opportunity to, police officers in cities around the country were being ambushed with water guns and water balloons. In some instances, people were dumping buckets of water into police cruisers, and it was It was not a. It was celebrated by many, and it was, it was people having fun and expressing their feelings. And what are you going to do? Arrest people for water guns? Like we've heard this week, what are you going to do? Arrest people for dancing? So I could see, exactly. To your point, I could see this exactly taking off like the water guns did last year, and maybe this is the summer where it's we're gonna twerk on police cars. It's ridiculous.
Look, I don't want to be an alarmist, but the fact is we have to accept what is changing in our society these days, particularly in some of these cities where we're not prosecuting for, quote, lower-level offenses. We're encouraging noncompliance. 2 weeks ago, one of our officers stopped a vehicle, and the subject live-streamed the fact that he was going to be arrested and positioned the camera to show his resisting. When the officers told him he was under arrest, he physically fought with him in the hopes that a police officer would make a bad use of force decision. And he had it captured for potential payout, because that's what's going on these days, right? You be noncompliant, and when the police officer makes a mistake, there's a payout at the end. And so we are encouraging as a society in some of our policies to be noncompliant. This isn't going to get better. And during the city of St. Louis, look, I've interviewed 5 police officers from St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department in the last 3 days who feel demoralized. They're jumping ship, so to speak, because they don't feel they have the support. They're concerned about their personal well-being and their family's well-being by making some of the decisions that they're forced to make every single day. This is not a good scenario for our entire region. And until these policies and how we look at crime changes, I think we're in for some rough times. So by all means, the Second Amendment radio. Wow. Do you need an example more of why you should carry personal protection these days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was frightening. I received the video of Wash Ave last Sunday afternoon by a mutual friend of ours, Dave. And I was shocked. And then I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, was the police officer in the vehicle, or did they step away to take care of another instance? And as I understand it, they were actually in the vehicle when it happened. At what point did we turn a corner where people just disrespect police altogether? Because as when I was growing up, if you asked a little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? Policeman, fireman, doctor, veterinarian, whatever. But now all you hear from little ones now is, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be rich and famous. When did that turn the corner? Because you've been in law enforcement a long time. When did you feel that it really like made a hard turn?
I think almost any police leader would acknowledge that it changed significantly in 2014 with the Michael Brown incident. But I will tell you, and this is the larger picture of what we're seeing with some of this, open disrespect, how we're teaching children to disrespect law enforcement and the authority, is that here's the reality, is when the public doesn't respect their police whatsoever, where do you as a private citizen sit on that totem pole? Now, you can discount this as that's just St. Louis City stuff and this disrespect of jumping on these cars causing this property damage. And by the way, individual police officers don't pay for that car. You as a taxpayer pay for this.
Right,
right.
The fact is when they're doing such disrespect and damage to government property, public property, where do you as a private citizen sit on that totem pole? And let me tell you, if they're willing to do that, based on those circumstances, I think you should be very concerned being a private citizen in that area as well.
So, Sheriff, I have talked to many, many Democrats, people that are otherwise far left, very progressive folks, like Keith Antone, who has been on this show and the Weekend Report with me for years, and he's pretty far left, but he is he also is a big city person, supports the Democratic Party big time, but has also spoken out with a loud voice about the need for police officers and how ridiculous the idea of defund the police is, and how you can't stop crime and we can't make the city safer if we don't have police on the streets. We talked to former mayor Lyda Crewson on the Dave Glover show this past week about this issue. And again, a Democratic mayor said very in very plain words. You can't stop crime without police. We can't defund the police. We can't take police officers off the street. We need more, better paid, higher trained officers. We need to put resources into the police department, not take them away. Michael Kelly, who is on KMOX and joins us on the Dave Glover Show every week, who used to run the local Democratic Party, is very outspoken about the need for police and how we need to put resources into the city police department, not out of the police department. So it's been very, very comforting to hear people on the left say that. So my question is, after this long setup, the question is, how widespread do you truly believe this anti-police message is? Because I think it's a very small minority, except that politicians and the media focus on that small minority and make it sound like a much larger group than it really is. What do you think about that? Do you feel like it's 50-50, or do you feel like, by and large, Americans still support police officers?
Well, look, I think you bring up a couple of interesting points. Number one, the Democratic Party of today is not the Democratic Party of years ago. And so I think if you're speaking from a generational standpoint, the Democrats that have a little bit of age with them tend to be a little bit more conservative than some of the progressives that we're seeing. The progressive narrative is that, you know, we need to automatically take money away from the police to punish them, reimagine police and put that money in other places, and therefore none of these other problems will exist and that we will attack it from, you know, the root causes. That's the narrative. But what it fails to address is that the problems that we already have, the violence that's in our society, and what are you going to do between the time that you pull this amount of money and put it in these programs, because there's going to be a huge lapse. And quite honestly, look, there's just not enough money. And so we have to prioritize based on the funds available. And these are dreams, you know. I mean, I would love to live in a peaceful society too, but I also recognize the environment in which we operate. I think some of these progressive narratives are concerning what you're seeing in some of these big cities. And this is where the difference is, because it's not just the Democratic Party, it's progressives in the Democratic Party that are pushing this narrative. We are in for a situation where it's going to progressively get worse based on the fact that they do not want police to do police actions. I don't know if you saw this. In the city of Chicago, they just released their new foot pursuit policy, which penalizes police officers to engage in a foot pursuit with misdemeanor subjects. That's ridiculous, right? Holding police back from holding people accountable. And you've seen what the result is. There's a roadmap. It's called San Francisco, where there's no penalty to shoplift. That's where we're heading, and that should be concerning.
Have you reconsidered?
Have you seen the movie Idiocracy?
Yes. And if you haven't, if you're listening and you haven't seen it, get that movie, because we are headed to that, and it's scary. Sheriff, in the immediate, though, it sounds like the St. Louis County Sheriff is going to be having some of his deputies on Wash Ave this weekend. It looks like the city police don't have their ducks in a row until starting after next week. Have you had any conversations with the sheriff of St. Louis County, or does he reach out and say, hey, what would you do, or does that question never come up?
Yes.
So you're talking about Sheriff Vernon Betts of St. Louis City.
Yeah.
Great guy. I've known him since he's been elected. I really like Vernon. The interesting thing about using St. Louis City sheriffs to help patrol Washington Avenue and other things is that his police officers or deputy sheriffs are not commissioned, meaning they do not have arrest authority. So they are, right? I mean, they're calling the local police to take some action. And I think there's some legal issues that could potentially come up. We'll wait to see, and I don't want to speculate in terms of the things that can happen or that can go wrong. But I can tell you I'm in the risk mitigation business, and there's a lot of risk associated with deploying deputy sheriffs that are not trained and commissioned police officers into situations where we really need trained police officers to handle those calls.
Sheriff, just a few minutes left here. I want to get to a couple more issues. We're talking to the sheriff of Jefferson County, Sheriff Dave Marshak. Another story that probably would be the headline that we would be talking to you about if the situation on Washington Avenue hadn't happened was the 911 story that came out about a week ago with the St. Louis alderman who's driving down the street in his own own area, and he sees a fire that's getting out of control, and he calls 911 and he gets put on hold. And it's literally like when you call your cable company or your cell phone company for customer service. When you call 911 in the city, you'll get a recording that picks up and says, "Your call is very important to us, and will be answered in the order it was received. So stay on the line." And it happened to an alderman, and it happened to somebody here that works at Odyssey and the company that owns this radio station. We had him on the air earlier this week. One of our own employees was walking to lunch and saw a woman being assaulted by multiple people at high noon in broad daylight in downtown St. Louis. He calls 911 to try to get this woman some help. And he's put on hold, and he's transferred, and it took 5 minutes to talk to a human, and then it took 20 minutes for a car to drive by. Go ahead, you Sheriff.
You and I have seen the news feeds, right? I mean, we've seen the Twitter feeds back and forth on people who have called 911 in St. Louis City and were either put on hold or discarded, right? I mean, we've both seen that. But let me ask you this. How many times have you seen a St. Louis City leader and in a position that has impact over that budget, suggest they were going to put more resources in there, or that they're going to pay their dispatchers more money, or that they're going to fully staff and provide a compensation package suitable to get people to encourage to be dispatchers down there?
Not once.
It hasn't happened. So, look, I think there's a bigger picture here. When we talk about, you know, the defunding, it's not just about law policing, right? I mean, simple services. These are important positions. If you're a member of a community, you want to know that you feel safe when you walk down the street, that if something happens, there's going to be competent law enforcement, investigations, et cetera. And that on the back end of that, that you're going to get successful prosecution, that you have a community that supports you. I can't imagine that. And it's really, to me, as a St. Louis resident, my entire life, it's a little disgusting, a little disruptive to see some of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
Again, you don't have to look very far for fine examples of saying, look, this is why citizens need to be protected. They need to take safety in their own hands because these are the kind of things that we're seeing happen and evolve every day.
Well, and I want to point out that the dispatchers are truly the tip of the spear when it comes to law enforcement, because those are the first people that are talked to. I got to tell you, Sheriff, and I don't know what the answer is, and you don't even have to answer the question, but when I heard that their pay range starts at $13 an hour as a dispatcher in the city, I was horrified, because all of the things that they have to deal with, all the people that are in, you know, distress, and, you know, they're freaking out and they're describing these things. These dispatchers, God bless every single one of them that shows up to work all over this country, but $13 an hour, you can make more money flipping burgers, for crying out loud.
Hey, look, at the rate we're flooding the economy with money, you don't even have to work, right? I mean, you're going to... Listen... Don't get me started, Bo.
No kidding.
Oh, I'm going to get you started, brother.
Hey, Sheriff, before we wrap this up, it is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people traveling, a lot of people driving. As people are listening to this, hopefully I am catching fish at the Lake of the Ozarks. And, you know, right, when I drive down to the lake on these holiday weekends, there's usually somewhere in the neighborhood of 215 speed traps on the highway between St. Louis and Osage Beach. What's your
tips,
advice and your tips and your suggestions for everybody that can hear you that's going to be out enjoying this holiday weekend?
You know, I think my advice for the weekend is, look, enjoy it. Let's appreciate why we're celebrating this weekend, most importantly. But when you're traveling to and from your destination, give yourself a little bit extra time. I always say that you have better things to do with your money than give it to your local police. So buckle up, give yourself a little extra time, and don't take the chances. You know, chances are when you strap your seat in a car and you're cruising down the road, nothing's going to happen. I mean, statistically,
most drivers are safe and they have very few crashes, but it's really not worth risking your personal safety when you look at the bigger picture. So give yourself a little bit extra time and enjoy the holiday weekend.
Okay. I have to ask this question before we let you go, Sheriff. We, as civilians, call them speed traps. What do law enforcement call them?
Paydays.
Wow. Wow.
Funding.
Hey, listen, I love it. I love it, Bo. You know why? Because I call them speed traps, too.
Oh!
Yeah. I've been a victim of that, just like everybody else. Look, nobody likes them. Look, we're no different, right? I don't want to get pulled over just like you. So
right.
I recognize there are some jurisdictions throughout the state and throughout the country that relying upon me paying the bill for their city. So I don't want that to happen in our jurisdiction. I don't want to see it other places. So don't give them the opportunity to take money out of your paycheck.
Hey, and DUI checks, too. Those are a real thing still in 2021, aren't they?
You know what? It's very limited. I just saw where Camden County at the lake, County, by the way,
just did a sobriety
checkpoint the other night. But when the Missouri legislature essentially failed to fund, you want to say defunded, failed to fund checkpoints, then that was pretty much the end of most of them. You don't see those pop up these days, but I did see Camden County.
That's interesting.
But don't drink and drive anyway.
I don't think you should have said that out loud, Sheriff.
I understand the need for speed traps and DUI stops and things like that. I just was having a little fun with the sheriff.
Yeah, all right. Sheriff, thank you very much.
Sheriff, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Everybody
for
have a
joining
great weekend.
Us. Yeah, back
thank
at you.
Sheriff.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, let's take another quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk to our friends and great sponsors from Osage County Guns. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Bo Matthews had to step out for a moment, but that's okay. We're talking now, like I said in the last segment, to our friends and great sponsors of this show from Osage County Guns. John, and is Jake here too? I should have asked this off the air. Are they both all right? We got
both there on a speakerphone.
Very good, very good. John and Jake from Osage County Guns. How's it going, fellas?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
Doing good. We appreciate you putting a little time in on this holiday weekend for us. Let's just start right there. You know, we've been talking. You guys are on the show pretty regularly. We've been chronicling this crazy year, and I guess it's been a year plus now in the gun industry. Where are we at now? Is the pressure still up? And when we have a holiday weekend like this, is business booming, or are people out in the great outdoors so they're not necessarily shopping? What's it like there at Osage County Guns?
So this is, you know, the time of the year where we start to see it slow down, and that's just seasonal. Everybody's kind of shifting into summer plans and vacations and things like that. So they focus a little less on shooting and shopping in the, you know, kind of in the gun stores. But we're still seeing it. It's staying steady without a doubt. We are making some progress on the inventory front, getting caught up, bringing product in and kind of finally starting to restock the shelves to some degree. We're not like pre-pandemic yet, but it's a lot better than it has been most of this year.
That's
so we're starting to get a little bit better selection of ammo, some more competitive prices on ammo. The firearm selection is definitely growing, but we still have quite a few gaps, and it'll take a while to really fill everything in.
So on that, on the topic of a firearm selection, not only was there tremendous pressure and so many gun sales in the last year, and a lot of those being first-time gun buyers, which we will get into a little bit later if we have time, or maybe on the podcast exclusive, but it's not only the pressure and all the sales that we've seen, but also the pandemic affected production. correct? And so what is happening there as far as your ability to get in guns and parts and all of that stuff? Is the gun industry back up and running from a production standpoint, or are they behind like many other industries?
They're up and running. A lot of the manufacturers, you know, during this pandemic and the pressure on the product came, they invested in more tools and tooling and machinery. They invested in more shifts with employees. And we're starting to see some of that come through as, you know, it takes time to train new employees on new products, machines, and manufacturing and building on firearms. But we're starting to see some of that come through. They're still behind. There's no question. It's still, we're not back to the, hey, I ordered a gun, I'll have it next week type of scenario. But it's getting better. And you're starting to, some of the manufacturers that really cut their selection down are starting to open up to making more of their models than they were in the past. But there's still some pressure on materials. There's still some pressure on the demand is high and the manufacturers, you know, opening up. Some of them just really cut back and said, hey, we're only going to make, you know, a handful of our firearms out of our catalog during this time frame because that's all we can make and ship effectively. The other guns take longer or different materials or whatnot. So, but we're seeing it ease up. We're seeing that in quantities kind of increase. We're seeing some of that open up back up and get a little bit broader, which is nice. It's good to see.
Is there a current fad or something that's popular that's caught on here recently? And if so, is that driven at all by the media? Like, do people want ghost guns now all of a sudden because they see ghost guns on the news and they didn't know what they were before, but now that somebody's going to take them away, they want to buy them? Like, is there anything like that happening?
I haven't seen a huge increase in, you know, the quote unquote ghost gun concepts.
Right.
But we didn't do a lot of business with that to begin with. So there may be, and I think there are some. There are definitely some people out there in the world that if you start saying, hey, you might not be able to have it anymore, they're going to go buy as many as they can. Mm-hmm. And good for them. and so I think that, you know, this has just been, you know, I've been in this industry for a long time, not as many as some, but more than most. And I've seen some of these trends, and this has been weird because it has been so widespread across so many different things, you know, where in the past, you would have it somewhat isolated to specific firearms or calibers and ammunition or things like that. But now, we're selling revolvers as fast as we're selling semi-auto handguns. We're selling shotguns as fast as we're selling ARs. So it's pretty widespread, but I think it's fun that way. It's spread the love to every gun out there, and everybody get out there and shoot what you like.
Absolutely. For people that haven't been out to Osage County Guns yet, haven't had a chance to get out there and visit you guys in person, they've heard me talking about the store for a very long time. Huge 6,000 square feet of retail space. You know, as you mentioned, as we've been talking about, inventory across the entire industry has been short this year, but you guys, because of the great relationships that you have in the industry and just the space that you have that others don't, have been able to serve your customers better than just about anybody that I've heard of across the entire area, if not the entire country. All those great reasons to visit Osage County Guns. Tell people about the store, how they can find you, and you know, everything about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that people are probably most eager about right now is ammo. So we actually do have 9mm in stock. It's steel case, which is a little less desirable, but it's what's available. So we actually have a pallet of 9mm. We've got 7.62x39, which is popular for the AK-47s. And we've got some 5.56 as well, which is popular in your AR-style rifles. So we've actually got all those finally in stock on the shelf, on the floor. And, you know, on the firearm side, I would say, you know, we're probably at 30 to 40% where we were pre-pandemic. But that's still, you know, I would say anywhere from 500 to 800 firearms in the retail store, maybe somewhere in that range. We'll get it back up. I think by the end of the year, we'll be knocking back, you know, between 2,000 and 3,000 firearms in the retail store.
That's incredible.
It is what it is. We'll take what we can get. But, you know, the selection is definitely getting better. So, you know, if you're looking for ammo, we've got it, and there's no limits to, which is great. So,
can you guys stick around and do the podcast exclusive?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So make sure you download the podcast exclusive. Get both Second Amendment Radio podcasts on the Odyssey app or anywhere that you get podcasts. That's John Dawson and Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. We appreciate you guys joining us this weekend and for being sponsors of the show. We got to wrap this one up. Make sure you join us on that podcast exclusive. Plenty more to talk with the guys about. And thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
Bo Matthews had to step out for a moment, but that's okay. We're talking now, like I said in the last segment, to our friends and great sponsors of this show from Osage County Guns. John and is Jake here too? I should have asked this off the air. Are they both all right? We got
both there on a speakerphone.
Very good. Very good. John and Jake from Osage County Guns. How's it going, fellas?
Hey, we're good. How are you?
Doing good. We appreciate you putting a little time in on this holiday weekend for us. Let's just start right there. You know, we've been talking. You guys are on the show pretty regularly. We've been chronicling this crazy year, and I guess it's been a year plus now in the gun industry. Where are we at now? Is the pressure still up? And when we have a holiday weekend like this, is business booming, or are people out in the great outdoors so they're not necessarily shopping? What's it like there at Osage County Guns?
So this is, you know, the time of the year where we start to see it slow down, and that's just seasonal. Everybody's kind of shifting into summer plans and vacations and things like that. So they focus a little less on shooting and shopping in the, you know, kind of in the gun stores. But we're still seeing it. It's staying steady without a doubt. We are making some progress on the inventory front, getting caught up, bringing product in and kind of finally starting to restock the shelves to some degree. We're not like pre-pandemic yet, but it's a lot better than it has been most of this year. We're starting to get a little bit better selection of ammo, some more competitive prices on ammo. The firearm selection is definitely growing, but we still have quite a few gaps, and it'll take a while to really fill everything in.
So on that, on the topic of a firearm selection, not only was there tremendous pressure and so many gun sales in the last year, and a lot of those being first-time gun buyers, which we will get into a little bit later if we have time or maybe on the podcast exclusive, but it's not only the pressure and all the sales that we've seen, but also the pandemic affected production. Correct. And so what is happening there as far as your ability to get in guns and parts and all of that stuff? Is the gun industry back up and running from a production standpoint, or are they behind like many other industries?
They're up and running. A lot of the manufacturers, you know, during this pandemic and the pressure on the product came, they invested in more tools and tooling and machinery. They invested in more shifts with employees, and we're starting to see some of that come through. As you know, it takes time to train new employees on new products, machines, and manufacturing and building on firearms. But we're starting to see some of that come through. They're still behind. There's no question. It's still, we're not back to the "Hey, I ordered a gun, I'll have it next week" type of scenario. But it's getting better, and you're starting to, some of the manufacturers that really cut their selection down are starting to open up to making more of their models than they were in the past. But there's still some pressure on materials. There's still some pressure on the demand is high, and the manufacturers, you know, opening up. Some of them just really cut back and said, "Hey, we're only going to make, you know, a handful of our firearms out of our catalog during this time frame because that's all we can make and ship effectively. The other guns take longer or different materials or whatnot." So, but we're seeing it ease up. We're seeing that and quantities kind of increase. We're seeing some of that open up back up and get a little bit broader, which is nice. It's good to see.
Is there a current fad or something that's popular that's caught on here recently? And if so, is that driven at all by the media? Like, do people want ghost guns now all of a sudden because they see ghost guns on the news and they didn't know what they were before, but now that somebody's going to take them away, they want to buy them? Like, is there anything like that happening?
I haven't seen a huge increase in, you know, the quote unquote ghost gun concepts.
Right.
But we didn't do a lot of business with that to begin with. So there may be, and I think there are some. There are definitely some people out there in the world that if you start saying, hey, you might not be able to have it anymore, they're going to go buy as many as they can. Mm-hmm. And good for them. and so I think that, you know, this has just been the, you know, I've been in this industry for a long time. Not as many as some, but more than most. And I've seen some of these trends, and this has been weird because it has been so widespread, across so many different things, you know, where, in the past, you would have it somewhat isolated to specific firearms or calibers and ammunition or things like that. But now, we're selling revolvers as fast as we're selling semi-auto handguns. We're selling shotguns as fast as we're selling ARs. So it's pretty widespread, but I think it's fun that way. It's spread the love to every gun out there, and everybody get out there and shoot what you like.
Absolutely. For people that haven't been out to Osage County Guns yet, haven't had a chance to get out there and visit you guys in person, they've heard me talking about the store for a very long time. Huge 6,000 square feet of retail space. You know, as you mentioned, as we've been talking about, inventory across the entire industry has been short this year, but you guys, because of the great relationships that you have in the industry and just the space that you have that others don't, have been able to serve your customers better than just about anybody that I've heard of across the entire area, if not the entire country. All those great reasons to visit Osage County Guns. Tell people about the store, how they can find you, and you know, everything about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that people are probably most eager about right now is ammo. So we actually do have 9mm in stock. It's steel case, which is a little less desirable, but it's what's available. So we actually have a pallet of 9mm. We've got 7.62x39, which is popular for the AK-47s. And we've got some 5.56 as well, which is popular in your AR-style rifles. So we've actually got all those finally in stock on the shelf on the floor. And, you know, on the firearm side, I would say, you know, we're probably at 30 to 40% where we were pre-pandemic. But that's still, you know, I would say anywhere from 500 to 800 firearms in the retail store, maybe somewhere in that range. We'll get it back up. I think by the end of the year, we'll be knocking back, you know, between 2,000 and 3,000 firearms in the retail store.
That's incredible.
It is what it is. We'll take what we can get, but you know, the selection is definitely getting better. So you know, if you're looking for ammo, we've got it, and there's no limits to, which is great. So
can you guys stick around and do the podcast exclusive?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So make sure you download the podcast exclusive. Get both Second Amendment Radio podcasts on the Odyssey app or anywhere that you get podcasts. That's John Dawson and Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. We appreciate you guys joining us this weekend and for being sponsors of the show. We got to wrap this one up. Make sure you join us on that podcast exclusive. Plenty more to talk with the guys about. And thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.